welcome to the new improved Not Just a Game podcast. I have a special guest with me. Who are Hello. You, special guest?
I am Tara Fothergill. I'm a historical archaeologist. I'm a research fellow, an honorary research fellow at the University of Leicester.
Awesome. And actually, I say special guest, but really you're going to be my permanent special guest because this is the new Tara and Catherine amazing podcast.
I don't think being permanent makes me any less special.
I mean, absolutely. You are very special.
My specialness extends temporarily.
So what games do you like, dear?
I like games. I like co-op games, especially in terms of RTS, things like, like Trine and Divinity Original Sin, super fun. But the games that I have played for the longest are MMOs. I've been playing MMOs since original EverQuest, and also beta tested quite a lot of them younger days.
What's the ones that you play at the moment, though?
Right now, I play primarily Elder Scrolls Online and Guild Wars 2.
Cool.
For MMOs, yeah.
And why have you decided to join up with me in this amazing task of trying to resurrect this podcast?
I thought it would be fun. I thought it would be interesting. And I thought, you know, why not? I mean, perhaps in a way, if one of our observations leads to somebody else having, you know, wanting to write a blog or wanting to try a game that they've not played, or re-examining something that they've encountered in a game in a different light, then, you know, why not?
Awesome. I mean, you probably know who I am, but...
I do. Do our listeners know who you are?
Maybe. Let's find out. I'm Catherine Flick. I'm a senior lecturer in computing and social responsibility at De Montfort University. I've been running this podcast for a while, but it kind of lost momentum a bit because I got really busy. And I thought maybe what I would do is bring on someone to help me, i.e. you, Tia, because I am... First of all, we have really good conversations quite frequently about stuff and games in particular. And we also
We think they're good.
But yeah, we also had a really good response to our chicken talk at PAX East, and we thought maybe we could continue in a similar vein. Maybe not as well researched as that, though.
Yeah. Just having a chat every week. What games do you like to play? I know our tastes overlap a bit. From time to time, we both play Mass Effect Andromeda, for example. But what have you been playing sort of recently and the longest?
Well, I'm also kind of an old school gamer. So I started in the 80s with like the IBM PC compatible machines. And I've been playing since. And I guess my big thing was I almost didn't finish my PhD because of an MMO called Final Fantasy XI.
yes, it has a reputation.
It does, and it did.
Well deserved.
Well deserved. But I managed to work my stuff out and finish it all off. I now try to stay a little bit clear of MMOs, but I'm much more responsible now than I used to be. So I'm kind of easing my way back in. Sometimes I play Guild Wars 2 with you, though, as you may recall. And we run around in our amazing outfits as Edge Ladies.
Yes. We literally have a guild called the Edge Ladies.
Which is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
We have a dress code.
Yes, we do.
I've also been playing a lot of Elite Dangerous recently, and some people may have caught my my streams of that, and particularly the hilarious passenger that I had to carry the other day that was a criminal guy who just wanted to go and visit a place where a wedding barge disappeared, and we were concocting all sorts of reasons for why he might have wanted to go there.
Yeah. I mean, where a wedding barge disappeared. It's
was
a bit
he
like...
the perpetrator of the crime?
Yeah. Is he returning to the scene?
Or maybe he was related.
Or maybe he's... it could be something quite sort of emotional. It could be, you know, he was involved with the groom or the bride or whatever in some way, besties or romantically involved. And you know,
it could be really sad for maybe he was in jail when it happened and he wasn't able to, you know,
to attend, or maybe he intended to break up the wedding but just didn't see it going quite this way.
Anyway, I also play some other games. I've been playing Stardew Valley recently, but we'll go.
I'd like to try that. I'm a little afraid of what I would be like playing that, though.
It's addictive.
Yeah.
It's bad. We'll talk about that at the end.
Yes, we'll do that.
So I've been doing that. But basically, yeah, I mean, you all know why I want to do this podcast is to share awesome things about games that maybe people haven't thought of before, and particularly from an ethics perspective, because that's what I do. I do ethics.
Yes.
So together we are Tia and Catherine, not just a game. And I think today we wanted to talk about our new favorite game that we have also been playing a little bit, each of us, which is Pit People.
Yes. We like Pit People. I think we have a special, deep and abiding, affection for the behemoth, for, you know,
they're because the publishers.
They're the publishers of the game. Because they, I hadn't played either, I think it's Castle Crashers or Battle Block Theatre, their previous games. I haven't played them. And in fact, my first, you know, proper encounter with them was when we were at PAX East. And they sort of unofficially sponsored our chicken talk.
Yeah, so we were hanging out in the mixer drink session after one of the days had closed, and we were just hanging out in the, because they were sponsoring some drinks, and I think we went up to try to see if we could get a bag or something. We were asking about something. We wanted to buy something, I think.
Someone did. Might not have been, I don't remember.
I think I was just talking to them. I went up and I just said, hey, look, I've just realized that your logo is actually a giant chicken and we're doing a talk about chickens. And let's just talk about chickens.
But I also wanted to know, my specific question was, is the behemoth a male or a female chicken? Because there's this whole kind of representation of male animals versus female animals and who gets it right and who doesn't. And then
we started chatting to this guy, and this guy's really nice. And he was saying, oh, you know, it's definitely a male chicken.
He had amazing teeth, this guy.
He did have amazing teeth.
Nicest, most brilliant teeth I've ever seen.
I hope he listens to this.
I hope he listens to this too.
Fangirling over his teeth. Anyway. We had a nice chat to this lovely fellow, and he was like, oh, and we were talking about chickens. We were talking about our chicken talk. We were talking about how much we like chickens and doing all the chicken stuff. Chicken, chicken, chicken. And then he said, oh, you know, I'll just pop out the back and get you something. And he came back and he gave us like a whole bunch of gear, which had chickens all over it.
Nice gear.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, here's a card for a free trial of a game that you may or may not play anyway.
Yeah, no, it was actually like we got little dangly things of the behemoth chicken. And we also got like a lanyard, and then Tia got a nice plushy behemoth, which then sat on our thing for PAX.
It sat on our podium for our
top. And we found out that he was actually, so later on I was like, I wonder who this guy was. And I looked up and he was the CEO of the behemoth.
So from us to you, CEO of the behemoth, we like your teeth.
And also and your chickens.
Cranium. And your chickens, yeah.
I'll trust that the paleopathologist to talk about the bones.
Well, right.
Anyway, so this is a little bit of a, this is our sort of also declaration of slight conflict of interest here, because we were chatted up quite well by the CEO of the behemoth, but then we went and bought the game. We did actually pay for the game, but we have lots of nice fluffy behemoth chickens. Pit People, what's it about, Tia?
Well, it's the only thing I knew about it was that it had something to do with battling and fighting pits. And having had quite a lot of academia lately, I wasn't sure I was really up for it.
Kaboom tish.
No, so I don't usually do fighting games. I think the last time I really enjoyed a fighting game was Soul Calibur. But I thought, you know, I heard it was meant to be comedic and sort of cartoony and not silly. Well, sorry, silly in a kind of inoffensive way. It was sort of, you know, there's definitely a market for that kind of thing. And
but it's not actually a fighting game, is it?
It's not actually a fighting game. It's more like it's a turn-based sort of RTS-ish tactical game, really. And it's it takes place on a hex landscape. And you get you make a team of six people. Well, they might be people. They might be spider queens. They might be hair trolls. They might be, you know, various things.
Unicorns.
Cupcakes and unicorns and all kinds of other stuff. And you can do battle in the pit. But mostly what I've been doing is not battling in the pit. I've done some pit battles and I've done all right. I've won some stuff. But and that's the best way to make money in the game is to do battle in the pit and do what's called the unfair challenge. The writing in this game is
hilarious.
Really funny.
It's great. It's
deeply enjoyable. I never know when someone says, oh, that's a really funny game, you should check it out, if I'm actually going to find it funny. I think the writing and the narrator really... really do it.
Yeah, I like the narrator. I think that the way it's narrated is just brilliant. Whoever's doing that is just hilarious.
The timing of just the delivery of the remarks is nothing short of hilarious. I really recommend it. And there's great plays on words like, you know, this ritual is happening at the fungal equinox. You're just like, what? Okay, fine. But it makes you laugh, and that's sometimes that's something you need. It's good for your mental health, and have a break.
Stuff.
There's enough serious things going on in this world that, you know, everybody could probably use a little bit of pitbull.
Excellent. So, I mean, I know that it's sort of loosely based on kind of gladiatorial, like the idea of having a pit where people fight. In some way is kind of supposedly gladiatorial. Do you have any kind of insight as our resident archaeologist into the realism or perhaps representation of such a pit in such a game?
Right. Full disclosure, I do not specialize in any way in the Roman period. You might need to ask someone else about that. But from my knowledge, very generally speaking, no, it's not really anything like proper gladiatorial combat. Except in one respect, and that is there are gladiatrixes as well as gladiators, because in the past we had both. And the way that sort of gender is dealt with in the game is actually very good. I like it for the most part. I'm a big fan. There's some other representations that I'm not as keen on. So it's not super gory. You didn't have cupcakes.
This makes me sad for the ancient Romans.
The ancient Romans may... Okay. They may not have been eating cupcakes, but they were definitely eating eggs.
Yeah, I was I'm thinking about sort of Roman baking now. Would they have made like pancakes or something?
No, they might have had pancakes. I don't know about pancakes, but I can tell you they did eat parts of chickens, you know, chicken meat during, in arena context. I don't know whether there would have been gladiators and gladiatrixes there at those times. But chicken meat, chicken eggs. But also, interestingly enough, dormice.
What?
So dormice were a snack food. And it's, you can think of like, you know, all kinds of street food. I mean, dormice is sort of the kebab of the ancient world in some ways.
Is that why there aren't so many of them around these days?
No, that's no.
Large-scale agriculture.
That's a combination of many different factors, most of which are anthropogenic, e.g. made by people, changes that happen as a result of human behavior. Dormice with – I've seen recipes for basically dormice on a skewer with rosemary and honey and olive oil.
Now you're making me hungry.
Yeah, I mean, if they taste anything like guinea pigs, they're probably pretty good. I mean, obviously I wouldn't eat one now, but, you know.
Well, not right now. I mean, you have to go find one first.
Yeah, do you think they'd be quite crunchy?
I mean, they're small, right? So they've probably got lots of not a huge amount of meat on them, so they're probably a bit crunchy, right? I mean, maybe they just deep fried them.
Now I'm thinking about the crunchy chicks in Fable. how will my moral standing be affected by eating the dormice on a stick? But
no cupcakes, dormice.
Dormice, yeah. And yeah.
Maybe we should suggest that to the behemoth to add that in. It's still in green light phase, so they've still got time to add stuff. You could add some dormice.
Delicious dormice snacks. Oh, crunchy dormice on a stick.
Delicious. So you said that there were some things you weren't so happy with, though.
Oh, okay. So I guess we'll start with the good. I like the representation of gender, although I wish there were some female cyclopses. Like, maybe...
I've got one cyclops.
Right. Okay. So I've met a few cyclopses now, and Yosef is quite slightly built compared to the rest of the cyclopses, and he's the one who joins as your sort of initial ranged character in the first 20 minutes of the game or whatever it is. But they're quite. I view them and I class them as male because I assume that they are mammals, and if they are mammals, then they should have.
Dangly bits.
Mammaries.
Fair enough.
Right, so maybe they're not. Maybe there's something
completely. Maybe they're like golems.
Yeah, I mean, that could be a thing, right? And that's. I mean, the game is a bit light on lore, and that's okay because it's a funny game.
Yes.
It's very sort of, you know, jokey. And not serious, and you have this giraffe that comes up and gives you some things that are facts and some things that are complete nonsense. And that's quite enjoyable. So I like the gender thing. That's good. I appreciate that everyone can wear everything, and you can put the princess hat on Yosef and things like that. And you can put the beards on the women and those sorts of things. Although
My character's rocking the beard.
Right yeah. Now. Excellent. Is it like the Viking helmet one?
Yeah, I think so.
Sweet. There's also a pirate one, which is fun. It reminds me of the sort of Pirates in an Adventure with Scientists, a female pirate who gets treated, you know, really well, I think, for being a female pirate. E.g., she's never really acknowledged as a female pirate, and that is the witch.
Exactly.
So, in a way, Pit People is like that, and I absolutely approve. But there is one detail that made my eye twitch, and that is also in the first 20 minutes of the game, the character Sophia. I mean, did you notice?
Yeah. So explain Sophia and what Sophia does and what you have to do.
Okay, so Sophia is the recrutador, which, frankly, she should be recrutador. Excuse me. She should be recrutadora rather than recrutador, but whatever. She rocks up on the beach in her massive ship, and she saves sort of the three characters that you already have at that point. So Horatio, Pipistrella, and Yosef. And she does this thing that kind of, made my eye twitch. She's like, "Oh yes, I claim the land in the name of Spain." And I'm like, "Wait,
okay."
Sort of glossing over the horror that is colonialism. Like, yeah, okay, it's a jokey, funny game, but it's a little bit insidious because she immediately asks the other three to kind of be her guides, right, in this kind of traditional retelling of contact between you know, at the Spanish Entrada when the Spanish turn up. This sort of sanitized narrative. And she, every time you come to a new place, she names it. So
yes, she does.
It's sort of kind of really saccharine coats the act of an outside party imposing their own name on a place. Like, why doesn't Horatio get to name a place? I mean, Pipistrella is royalty and her status doesn't matter. Right.
And she's supposedly kind of royalty of the area as well. I'm surprised she doesn't actually like say, hey, wait a second.
Why are you naming everything? Right. Yeah. Kiss off. So
the way I kind of read it was that they were just like, what a silly woman. Like, let's just let her do, like, whatever, you know?
Yeah, I think Horatio is just like, sure, or whatever, like, in-game. Yeah. They kind of dismiss her, which is fine, and I think that's good.
It's a difficult, because, I mean, obviously the impact of that act in real life has had significant consequences for the local people, right? So the fact that there's kind of an airbrushing of what actually happened can be is a bit complicated and not so good.
It just sort of touched on something that I think is actually, you know, it was just a little bit too close to home in terms of some of the things that I have researched and things that I feel personally quite strongly about. So I was just sort of, I was a little bit like, what? You know, this. So I the first chance I got, I just took her off my team. I wouldn't use her. I was like, forget you. I will pick up anybody else. Spider Queen, you look great. Unicorn, fine. Cupcake. Excellent. You heal.
Arm them with a net. You'll be fine.
yeah, exactly. So she's lower level than many of my characters because I only recently was like, all right, I'm just going to put a different hat on her and kind of re-equip the character because I decided I wanted to have an all-female team because somebody that I play in the co-op mode with a lot has only recognizably male characters in his team, and I was like, well,
aha, uh-huh. Redress the balance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Put her back on.
So this, I mean, you know, just for our audience out there, this, the fact that we're criticizing an aspect of a game doesn't necessarily mean that we think that the game is horrible and terrible and everything. No, we love it. We love this game.
I play it, you know, I play at least a few hours a week of Pit People. It's great. The fact that there's this weird, problematic, situation in there is not. I mean, it doesn't stop me from playing the game. It just made me, you know, it made my eye twitch. I mean, that's literally what happened. And that is the sum impact of it. It's otherwise a fantastic game.
So I think the kind of take home message here is that, you know, if you're creating a game and you're using historical events, it's important to kind of be a bit sensitive to the impact that those events have had, for example. With this, I mean, obviously it was a huge impact on Southern America and other places in the world. And
America, South, everywhere you've got, I mean, the impact of colonialism is...
Yeah. Significant. I've been watching some really old David Attenborough. Really old. So BBC4 on iPlayer, they've released a whole bunch of the really old David Attenborough shows from like the 60s, and I've been watching these, and there was one about him sailing, well, not really sailing because he can't, but like going down the Zambezi, and he was also talking about Livingston, and he was talking about, and it really occurred to me when he was retelling the tale of Livingston about how Livingston, you know, we all think about him as the great explorer, but then he had 100 local people who were his porters and guides, and they never, like, and I didn't even...
Nobody ever says that.
Yeah, and you don't think about it either, right? You're like, well, he must have worked it out somehow, and I mean... Uh-huh. most of the time he got carried around because he was so ill from fever and malaria.
I mean, and this is the way a lot of the, you know, definitely some of the things I've read 19th century so-called explorers in North Africa, right, the Sahara, people going there, and they're just really unwell and everything goes phenomenally bad for them. You think, who's looking after you?
Yeah, exactly. What I found interesting, though, is that apparently Livingston called... when he was naming things,
naming Sophia. Is so important. It's a very potent way of exerting control.
But he made a specific effort to name things after what the local people called them. So the only thing that he named that wasn't after some local name was Victoria Falls. But he messed it up, like, significantly. Like, one of the mountain ranges, he asked the local people what those mountains were called, and they just said something like Pee Pee or something. And so he called them the Pee Pee Mountains, but actually Pee Pee just means mountain. So they're the mountains. And apparently they're still called that. I can't remember the exact word. It was something like Pee Pee. But, and you're just like, yeah. I mean, well-intentioned, I suppose, but no.
Yes. And it is, and this is the thing about intentions. You know what they say. And it's the road to tenure is paved with good. No, but the,
no, that's just paved with hell.
Bricks made out of hell. But the that's just reminding me of those the fiery hexes and pit people. Yes. Like some of the things are just sort of like it's the dance of keeping your characters out of the squares that are, well, the hexes that are on fire.
Yes, that's a good dance.
Yes. Anyway, you know, as you say, these things are well-intentioned, but how are you supposed to react to that intention in the present day? Mm. You know, certainly people's perspectives are very different now, and I would find myself thinking, what, are they supposed to be grateful that he's accepted their naming?
Yeah.
But that's just me. It has nothing to do with how much I have enjoyed Pit People. And continue to enjoy Pit People.
All right. So other than Pit People, what have you been playing recently?
Oh, gosh. Right. So a little bit of Guild Wars 2, long enough to log in and realize that things have changed a lot again. And I'm extremely confused, but we'll pop back in this weekend and see what I can do to catch myself up. Elder Scrolls Online, which I play, funnily enough, to keep in touch with my mother, who lives 8 time zones away.
Yay for games, me helping people make and continue connections with their families.
Yes, and it's actually really positive because even though we're often not on at the same time, we'll send each other sort of in-game mail. It's a bizarre thing because, of course, we could write an email. We could send a text. But it adds something. There is a value added by, you know, doing it in game. You can send each other recipes that you found and stuff that you find interesting. And of course, Pit People. That's just in the last few weeks. That's what I've been playing. I was playing Mass Effect Andromeda a lot.
I did finish it.
But wow. we could talk about that in a...
Maybe we should, because I haven't, and I don't know if I really want to. So maybe you should convince me that I should finish it.
Okay.
Next time. I've been playing Elite Dangerous. I haven't actually played any Pit People this week.
You know, you and I haven't done co-op, so maybe we could do that at some point.
We should totally do that. Maybe we could stream it. Wow. So I've learned how to stream stuff, so you can find me on Twitch. It's twitch.tv/Liedra, LIEDRA. And occasionally I will sing my fuel scooping songs in Elite Dangerous and also carry passengers around in my orca and also sometimes go exploring, which is pretty cool. And I like exploring.
Tell me about the game. Is exploring sort of the main purpose?
Yeah, it's one of them. There are many main purposes. It just, like, there's lots of things you can do in the game, so you just... I faff about and do a bit of all the things. I used to do a lot of mining, and I had a really good mining ship, and then when the Ruins missions came out. So this is something that we should probably talk about at some point.
Ruins.
Future archaeology. Archaeology yes. in space.
Yes.
But I did this mission where I had to run around and scan a bunch of ruin things. And when I did that, I got a bunch of money. And I thought, okay, so I'll use this money to... Oh, I don't quite have enough for the ship that I want, so I'll need to get some more money. So I bought an Orca, which is basically a passenger. Like, it looks like a space limo. It's pretty cool. like, all sort of sleek lines and reflective window glass things. Like, I mean, it's quite impressive. And I've now just been doing loads of passenger missions. And I'm part of the Mobius group, which is like a PvE private group. And because you can play in open and then people come and blow you up and that's not very fun.
I don't think I could handle that. Those various games I've tried that have that mechanic and it's not worth my time.
I can't do PvP. It just makes me mad. So I get mad enough when I blow it, I just run, you know, burn into a sun. That annoys me enough, let alone other people. You know, it's my own stupid fault.
Yeah. Anyway. That's the worst. You're like, you suck, you.
Yeah. Anyway, so I carry people around. It's pretty fun. I get some money, and I'm also supporting the local faction, which is the Mobius, Order of Mobius or something, and I'm doing some stuff to help them basically increase their influence in the system, which is pretty fun. So I quite like Elite. Apparently there was a big survey done, and the results are actually released today. It wasn't official. It was just on the subreddit for Elite. And they had 12,000 responses, which is pretty good for a survey, even if it is self-sample, blah, blah, blah. But only 2% of Elite players that also hang out in these Reddits and also filled out the form were women. 2%. So I'm one of those 2% that plays Elite, and I don't know why. To be honest, it's a bit of a learning curve, and you really need one of these like throttle joystick combo things called HOTASs. But it's gorgeous, and I love exploring. I just like going out and finding stuff. I love it. Yeah,
that's really fun. That's actually one of the ways that ESO excels, is that you'll just run off in a random direction and find something neat.
Yeah, so I mean, I mean, someone asked if there were like barriers to participation in the subreddit where they were discussing the results, and I was like, well, I mean, I'm quite aware of these things because I do this stuff. This is kind of my job to be aware of these things, and I haven't noticed any. I mean, the PvP thing would be a big turnoff, I think, but
thought that the game was only PvP.
No,
was just like, no thanks.
But because you can play by yourself or just with, like, your group of friends or whatever, I mean, you still get attacked by NPCs, but you kind of can deal with that.
Yes.
And they're not as annoying.
It's not personal.
Yeah, it's not personal. Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, so I quite like it. And I think that actually, if you're interested, it's really just lots of pretty space. And, I mean, sometimes when I'm doing really long exploration trips, like I put on an audiobook or a podcast, like ours, perhaps. And
just an idea for you folks at home.
Yeah. we're preaching to the converted here, I think.
I think it might be, yes. Just a tiny bit.
Yeah, so, and I just put that on and it's great. And you see lots of cool stuff. And if you find it first, you get your name on it. So, you don't get to name the planets though, which, I don't know. I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah. What names the planets? Are they just sort of part of the game scheme?
Yeah, so, there are certain, like, because it's all procedurally generated, there are like areas of space, and they're usually named after like a star from one of the big constellations. So you might have like, I'm just thinking of some ones I've been to recently, or a nebula or something. So I went out to the Jellyfish Nebula, which is about 5,000 light years from Earth, or Sol,
Yes.
And I went out, and all the sort of the stars in the area were called like jellyfish, and then kind of a random sequence of numbers and things. Mm-hmm. But they're not really random. They actually tell you stuff about the star, so it will tell you what type of star it is and things like that.
Like the Star Trek M-class or whatever.
Yeah, a bit like that. Yeah, right. Yeah. But they're, classes of stars rather than planets. Mm. But then the planets will be like A, B, C, D, that sort of thing. And then if you've got moons, it'll be like planet A, moon 1, so it'll be A1. So,
right.
Yeah, so there's
fair enough.
Yeah, it's I mean, it makes sense. But yeah, it's pretty cool. Anyway, I enjoy it. It's good fun. If you should go try it if you're
interested.
Sounds interesting. Or come and watch me stream it, and then I will convince you.
Okay. All right. Okay. So we could do a swap at some point.
Yeah.
So I could try to convince you to finish Mass Effect Andromeda, at least the main line.
Okay.
And you could convince me to try Elite Dangerous.
All right. It's on, I think.
It's a challenge. I don't know.
All right.
Hey, maybe not tomorrow. But.
And with that, I think it's a good place to leave it for today. So thanks very much, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Tia.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Excellent. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to the Not Just a Game podcast. The music is Hot Machine Cold Surface by Ben Prunty from OC Remix. Graphics are from The Noun Project.